We continue our learning. We're in Adios, Perigimel, Mishnah Beis. A little bit of an introduction regarding tuma of food. Food can become tuma even if it's less than the size of a kibetza. But in order to transmit tuma to something else, food has to be at least the size of a beitza. What if you have in a bowl, let's say, or in a cup of water, let's say, you have raisins. We could give it as an example of food where you have each piece alone that's tuma is less than the size of a kibetza, but maybe they join together to equal the size of a beitza, and that could transmit tumah. So that's the topic of the Mishnah. Another statement of Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas. Ochel parud eino mitstarev, says Divri Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas. Rabbi Dosa says, if you have pieces of food that are less than the size of a beitza, let's say our example of raisins, and it became tameh, each one, let's say, was touched by a dead sheretz. So as we said, food can become tameh less than the size of a kibetza. He says it's not mitzareif in order to transmit tumah to something else. According to some Rishonim, they're together in a cup of water, let's say. According to others, they're stuck together. But the point is that according to Rabbi Dosa, even though they're in contact with one another, they're considered separate entities and they don't transmit tuma, even though together they would equal a kibetza, because alone they're not. V'achachamim omrim mitztaref, since they are in contact with each other, we consider them as one unit, as one entity, and therefore they're mitztaref to the size of kibetza, and they can now transmit tuma to something else. Then the Mishnah says another halacha of Rabbi Dosa, Mechalalin Maser Sheni al Asimon, Divi Rabbi Dosa. We don't follow this opinion of Rabbi Dosa, but he says that when it comes to Maser Sheni, we've mentioned in the past, Maser Sheni, which we give the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, we bring the food to Yerushalayim, and the owner can eat the food there. If he wants to redeem it onto coins prior to come to Eretz to Yerushalayim, he can do that to make it a little bit easier, not to have to schlep all the produce, and he uses the money there in order to spend it on food. Ideally, karbonos shlamim. Those coins typically we use regularly minted coins. Comes Rabbi Dosa to say you could be mechalal, can deconsecrate maser sheni, the kedusha, by transferring the kedusha onto coins that are not even minted coins. It's the same size of the coin. It has not been minted yet. It hasn't been printed yet with a tzura of the king, let's say. He says that's perfectly okay. That's what we call an asimon. Where does he learn this from? The pasuk says, Vitzarta ha-kesef biyadcha. And the word vitzarta can be understood. It means to bind. It means we can bind. We bind the kesef in our hand. You could just mention kesef itself. What do you mean to bind? It means that anything that a person is able to bind into his hand, including a coin that's unminted, is acceptable for chilul, for deconsecrating the maser sheni onto a coin. No, you're not allowed to do that. You have to use a minted coin. The pasuk says, based on the same word, vitzarta kesef biyadecha, vitzarta not only means to bind, but the word tsura means a form, means it has to be where there's an image of, let's say, a king, and therefore that's a minted coin, and you can only use a minted coin. Another halacha of Rabbi Dosa, matbilin yadayim lechatas divi Rabbi Dosa. We're speaking about chatas, we're speaking about the water that has the spring water, that has the ashes of a paraduma mixed into it, sprinkled by the Kohen, of course, on people or kalim that became tamei mace. So Rabbi Dosa says you have to immerse your hands in a mikvah in order to involve yourself with the chatas water, which has the spring water and the ashes of a paraduma. So Rabbi Dosa is teaching us that if you have a Kohen who touched tummy foods or tummy liquids and his hands become tummy because of that, but only his hands, not the rest of his body, and we'll explain why only his hands and not the rest of his body, he can now immerse his hands in a mikvah, and then he can handle the chatas water and sprinkle it on people who are tummy mace. A little background to this. Mida orais, the idea that only your hands become tummy and the rest of your body do not, there is no such thing. What we assume that either your whole body is tummy, if part of your body becomes tummy, or none of your body is tummy. None of us, the Chachamim said, in certain situations, only your hands will become tummy, and that depends on that which you are touching. This obviously is only where the hands are tummy midurabanan. What are we talking about? So let's say you have a case where a person touched a rishol matuma, let's say a food that became that became tummy from an avatuma. So that food is a rishol matuma. This person touching that, so midor rice a rishol matuma cannot make a person tummy, cannot make a kli tummy. Nonetheless, midurabanan, if a rishol matuma comes in contact with a person's hands, the hands become tummy. So this is only midurabanan. So here the Chachamim said, it's sufficient that your hands become tamei, not the rest of your body. And because of that, we will allow you to put your hands in a mikvah, according to some, maybe just netilas yadayim is sufficient. And there's a general rule that stam yadayim are a sheni l'tumah. We assume that hands in general, because they're touching, who knows what you do, we don't pay attention to what hands touch. Therefore, a kohen, before he eats truma, because truma can become a shlishi l'tumah, from a sheni l'tumah, and your hands, we assume stam yadayim are a sheni l'tumah, you wash netilas yadayim. So here the Mishnah is telling us that with respect to, according to Rabbi Dosa, if you have tuma on your hands, it's sufficient to immerse them in the mikvah in order to handle the chatas waters, which means the para aduma waters mixed with the ashes. That's Rabbi Dosa's opinion. He says that the chatas water, we don't treat any more strictly than we would when it comes to karbanos. What's halach when it comes to kachim, when it comes to karbanos? So a person whose hands are tameh, what does he do? He puts them his hands in the mikvah. He doesn't have to put his whole body in the mikvah. And then he's allowed to deal with kachim. So the same thing is true when it comes to the kohen who's sprinkling the chatas water. He could do the same thing. That's Rabbi Yosef's opinion. According to the chachamim, no, the chatas water has to be more strict than it comes to regular kachim. So regular kachim, it's enough to put your hands in the mikvah. That's okay before. But chatas, you want to deal with the para aduma water. So it's not enough to put your hands in the mikvah. If your hands become tummy, even from a rishon l'tuma, which is only derabanan, nonetheless, you have to, the entire body has to go into the mikvah. Paragimel, Mishnah Gimel. Me'e avatiach uknivas yorak shel truma. Another halach of Rabbi Dosa. We're speaking about the insides of an avatiach of a melon. We talk about the juice and the liquid, or knivas yorak. Knivas yorak is, you have this in Maseches Yoma regarding preparing for after Yom Kippur. These are, let's say, the leaves that are on the outside that may be a little bit spoiled of a vegetable, let's say lettuce. So me'e avatiach uknivas yorak, the insides of the avatiach of the melon, uknivas yorak, or the outer leaves of a vegetable, and they are truma, Rabbi Dosa matir lezarim, he says, a non-kohen is able to eat them. Why? Because these are things that people typically throw out. Think about, you take, open up a melon, you throw out the pits, throw out some of the juice that may be inside. So therefore, they're not considered food. The halach of truma does not apply to them. Therefore, a non-kohen is able to eat them. V'achachamim, and the same they regard the outer vegetables. V'achachamim, most of them, they say, no, they are considered food, and therefore they have the halach of truma, and only a kohen is able to eat them. The Yushami in Shumos Perek Yudal says that the Chachamim's halacha apply only in the case of socharim, of merchants, of tagarim. Why? Because they're the people who would remove any parts of the vegetable that may be damaged to make it look nicer for people who are buying it, potentially. And therefore, so that which they take off is a little bit edible. The Chachamim therefore say, your non-kohen is not able to eat it. But if, let's say, a balabayas person is not selling anything, doesn't need to make things look beautiful, he still removes them anyway. So that which he removes is clearly not fit for eating. And therefore, if the balabayas remove him, the chachamim would say that that is mutter to be eaten by a zarba and non-kohen. Then the Mishnah speaks about a halacha regarding, also Rabbi Dosa, regarding the mitzvah of reishis hagez, which is when we give the first shearings to the kohen. Says the Mishnah, chamesh rechelos gezuzos mane ufras chayavos bereishis hagez divrei Rabbi Dosa. What's the minimum amount of shearings that we need in order to be chayav in reishis hagez to give to the kohen? So the pasuk says bereishis gez soncha titenlo. That's in Devarim Perek Yud Ches, and we have to give the first of the shearings of the sheep, of the fleece of the sheep, to the kohen. So the Torah doesn't tell you how much wool has to be given to the kohen. The chachamim, however, would tell us that it has to be at least the 60th of that season. Whatever the yield of the season is for your sheep, you give a 60th. That's in Chulin Daf, Kuf Lamid Zayin. Nonetheless, this obligation only applies to at least five sheep. You have to, Beis Hillel's Halacha in Chulin Perek Yud Aleph says, this applies if you need a minimum of five sheep that you're shearing, then there's going to be this Chiyuv and you give 1/60th. So Rabbi Dosa, and this is the Halacha number 6 of Rabbi Dosa, says that the fleeces that we're speaking about have to weigh at least 1.5 mane. If any of them weighs less than that, or less than, we have less than five sheep, of course, so then the halacha of the reishis hagez does not apply. How much is a mane? So we've mentioned a mane regarding coins. A mane is 100 zuz, 25 sela. So if if that means each one has to be 1.5 money, that's going to be 37.5 sloim in terms of weight. So that is Rabbi Dosa's opinion. Rachamesh Rachelos, it has to be 5 sheep minimally, and Gezuzos mane upras, where each one is a mane and a half of fleece in weight. No, as long as you have 5 sheep, kolshen literally means any little bit, any amount is going to be you're going to be chayiv to give his. There's a chiyuv of voracious against. Now, kol shekein is not to be taken literally. According to the Chachamim, there needs to be at least 60 sela for all in weight for all sheep together. That's 12 sela per sheep. And therefore, a kol shehein needs to be understood relatively. The Chachamim was saying, well, it's 12 sela per sheep, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Dosa, 75 sela per sheep. So therefore, relatively speaking, that's a kol shehein, that's negligible, that's any amount. But nonetheless, there is a minimum amount. And according to the Chachamim, yes, you need chamesh rechelos, but 12 sela per sheep, as opposed to Rabbi Dosa, 5 rechelos, 75 sela per sheep.